I'd ask you to please turn with me to the book of Genesis and chapter 12 and verse 1. The book of Genesis, chapter 12 and verse 1, that is page 11. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Now, we begin this morning, dependent upon the Lord, a series on the life of Abraham. And this morning we're going to consider Abraham called by God. Now, Abraham is undoubtedly one of the most remarkable examples of faith in God and obedience to God. There is so much we can learn from his testimony. For example, we are taught here about his call, and we learn lessons about his obedience. And later we will see vital lessons about faith and temptation and disappointment and fear and courage and generosity and times of success and times of failure, the times of God's special visitation and promises. And his testimony then is given for our instruction, it's given for our encouragement, but it's also given for our warning. His successes and his failures are faithfully recorded for us in Scripture, and they demonstrate to us the challenges and the blessings of walking with God. Here's a real life example of a man who is called the friend of God, and yet he is a sinner saved by grace. And he was totally dependent upon God's help and strength in his life. And so by studying his life on the Lord's Day mornings, we will be able to identify with the highs and the lows of his life. We will learn how Abraham was directed and how he was corrected, how he was delivered, how he was blessed by God. Now, we begin then this morning by reminding ourselves of some key facts about this man of God. And these facts will demonstrate to us the significance of his testimony for us. Now, Abraham was chosen and called by God. He wasn't born a believer. He wasn't born as a saved person. Abraham was called by God. He was chosen by God. And Abraham was called the friend of God. Abraham was called faithful Abraham. Several times it is recorded in Scripture these words, the God of Abraham. So on the one hand, God clearly intended that his name should be identified with this man of faith, Abraham. But on the other hand, this statement, the God of Abraham, is used by believers to identify ourselves with the God of Abraham. Abraham's God is our God. He is the true Jehovah God, the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Abraham is described as being the father of all those that believe by faith. Abraham was the great example of true and living faith in God. He's the father of the faithful. He's the father of faith. He's this great example to us of true and living faith in God. And Abraham was promised that in him would all the nations of the world be blessed. And this was a messianic gospel promise which pointed ultimately to Christ. And it was said of Abraham by the Lord Jesus Christ himself that Abraham, thousands of years before Christ was born, saw his day by faith, saw Calvary by faith, and was glad. Well, having looked then at some of the reasons why studying the life of Abraham is important and helpful, and the significance of his relationship with the Almighty God by faith, we'll now examine this morning, in particular at the beginning, the call of Abraham, the call of Abraham. Now you'll notice here that in Scripture it refers to Abraham here as Abram. Now you will know that Abraham's name was changed to Abraham. Now sometimes I get confused in my mind, so you'll have to bear with me that I'm going to refer to Abraham as Abraham to have a consistency in my thinking, albeit we will see later on in his testimony why his name was changed from Abram to Abraham. What caused this change of name, and what was the significance of it? Well, the call then of Abraham. I want us to look at the context of the call first of all, and we see in verse 31. And Terah took Abraham his son, and Lot the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came into Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now, the account of Abraham commences shortly after the record of events at Babel. Remember the Tower of Babel? There the people of the earth were scattered abroad in confusion of language under the judgment of God. That's why we have different languages in the earth today. It's another testimony of the truth of God's word. If it hadn't been for Babel, we'd have all been speaking of one language. But because of God's judgment, he scattered. And he created confusion in language. Well, these that came under the judgment of God had departed from following the true and living God. They'd given themselves over to idolatry and to arrogance. But having dealt in judgment with these people, God now deals in grace toward Abraham. Abraham is called out of darkness into his most marvelous light, God's most marvelous light. Now we first read of Abraham when he dwelt with his wife Sarah in Ur of the Chaldees. Now Ur of the Chaldees was a very prosperous city. It had a developed infrastructure. Ur had a population of at least 250,000 people. So Abraham was a city dweller at that time. Ur was a very important and busy commercial trading center. It had many different trade crafts in action. It was a successful city. It was a wealthy city. The city had a vast temple with a college and a library. At its center was a statue to the moon god. This was the principal idol that was worshipped among hundreds of other idols. The city was renowned for its idolatrous polytheism. This sadly was the hallmark of the religion of Terah, the father of Abraham. Now Joshua confirms this later in Scripture. We read in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verse 2, and Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as he looks back in the history, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Polytheism, other gods. They served other gods. So it could not be said that Abraham was brought up in a believing home. In fact, everything around him and his family mitigated against belief in God. And this makes his call by grace all the more remarkable. Abraham, called by grace, right out of an idolatrous situation. The sovereign power of God impacted upon this one man, according to his eternal covenant of grace. And this is such an encouragement for us in evangelism in our own lives this morning. We have so many unbelieving families, and God can touch one life in an unbelieving family according to his sovereign grace. And Abraham is this great example for us of this. But then secondly, we can see the personal call then again of Abraham. We come again to this important point. It's important to note that this call was to Abraham alone. It was not actually a general call to his family. You see, we might be a child of a Christian family, so-called. Our parents may be believers. But that doesn't make us a believer in and of itself. We have to be saved by grace. We're not born a Christian. We can only be saved by God's grace to become a true Christian. This was not actually a general call to Abraham's family. If we turn to Isaiah 51 verse 2, this is confirmed for us. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone, the word of God says. And I blessed him and increased him. And we see here, friends, the wonder of God's sovereign grace. Why should he choose Abraham? Why should he pick Abraham out? Well, it wasn't because Abraham was a special person. It was because of God's wonderful sovereign grace. The same point is made by Stephen in the New Testament, in that sermon just before his death. We read, he said, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran. And he said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee." So it was a personal call to Abraham. Dear children, young people here this morning, it's a wonderful thing if you have praying, godly parents. But do remember, we're not saved by our families. We're saved by grace, and grace alone. And you need to put your trust only in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, just like Abraham did by faith as he looked to the Messiah. But then I want us to see then the separating nature of this call. In chapter 20, verse 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." Well, it's very important for us to note the depth of the separating nature of this call. Abraham was clearly told at the outset it was a separating call. He was to leave his country and his kindred. And this is something that Stephen brings our attention to, again in Acts, that Abraham received this personal call, actually before he dwelt in Haran. This is perfectly ties in with Genesis 12, verse 1. "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham," he had said previously unto Abraham, this is now the Lord speaking to Abraham while he is in Haran, living in Haran. "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham," he'd already said, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." It was a separating call right from their very outset in Ur of the Chaldees. If we turn again to Joshua 24, verses 2 to 3. "And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods." That was the context. "And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and I led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac." That is a testimony under inspiration of the Holy Spirit given by Joshua. Again, we see Joshua making reference then in verse 3 to the separating nature of the call of God. Now, why is this so important? Why must we make emphasis upon this? Well, not only because it's in Scripture. If it's in Scripture so clearly, we have to focus upon it. There's a lesson to be learned here. Well, I believe this morning, in the context of us gathered here this morning, there are those of you who testify of having been called out of an unbelieving family. You were brought up in an unbelieving family. And God called you by his grace, by his sovereign grace. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that marvelous? Do you not rejoice so much in God's wonderful love to you? Why me? Why has God set his love upon me in such a way that I've been called out of that situation and God set his love upon me from eternity, and he called me by his grace in time, and he called me out. You still have a love for your family. You have a care for your family. You pray for your family, undoubtedly. But a difference has been made. You have been saved by grace. This is the great lesson of Abraham as he was called out of Ur of the Chaldees. This is sovereign grace shining most magnificently, friends. You notice the terminology that Stephen uses in Acts. He speaks of the God of glory, the God of glorious grace, the God of glorious love, the God of glorious mercy, the God of glorious wisdom had called Abraham out of darkness. And Abraham must know that this call was from the one God, the unique God, the true and the living God. Oh, Abraham's God was different from the gods of his father's house, from the gods of his country. God, this God, Jehovah God, would not share his glory with another. And so the call of God to you this morning, it's a separating call. And it's painful. Yes, I'm sure it was painful for Abraham. But it's a call of God. And God is with Abraham, and God will be with you, my dear friend. Be assured of that. Well, we're not told the reasons why Terah evidently took the lead in coming out of Ur. We read that in verse 31, Terah took Abram his son and Lot the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah his daughter-in-law, his son's Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came into Haran and dwelt there. From this, we know that Abraham must have told his father about his personal call from God, because they came out of Ur of the Chaldees to go to the land of Canaan and abide there. So Abraham must have told Terah, his father, God has called me and he's promised me and he's told me he's going to take me to the land of Canaan. I've got to go to the land of Canaan. So it was that Terah decided to take the lead as the family head, and he went with his son as well. But we know from the scripture record here that Terah's action was not total obedience to the first call of God to his son Abraham. Because having come out of the ungodly city of Ur, Terah settles the family in another ungodly city called Haran. So we see here, and they go into the land of Canaan, and they come unto Haran, and dwelt there. Haran wasn't in the land of Canaan. Haran was nowhere near the land of Canaan. In fact, Haran wasn't even in direction of the land of Canaan at that. And dwelt there has the meaning of settling down permanently. This was not a stopover in Haran to gather breath. This was settling in Haran. Oh, friends, there's so much to learn from this. Haran was a city on a popular trading route. It was not actually in the direction of Canaan land. Haran was a city like Ur alongside the river Euphrates. Haran was a city which worshipped the same gods as Ur. It was no different from Ur in some respects. It was a city of similar culture and response and prosperity. So it could be described as a comfortable home-from-home situation. Yes, they'd left Ur of the Chaldees, but they were nowhere near Canaan land. They were settling down in Haran. And this was partial obedience at best. And it hindered Abraham in properly obeying his call from God. Now we must understand this morning this important lesson. There is a great danger in a halfway house. Satan will put Harans in front of us and say, yes, you've obeyed God, you've left Ur of the Chaldees, you've met at this step of obedience, and he will perhaps make us feel proud, and now you need to look after yourself, now you need to take care of yourself, be good to yourself. Look, here is another city, you settle here in Haran. You've left Ur of the Chaldees, But here is another city, and Satan will give us plenty of Harans to settle in the life of a believer. What Satan does not want is wholehearted commitment to God's way. He doesn't want wholehearted obedience. He doesn't want you to make that ultimate sacrifice and leave all and follow the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The name Tira means delay. And the name Haran means crossroads. Are you at a crossroads in your life this morning? A crossroads in your life. And Satan is putting a Haran in your life. And you're trying to convince yourself that I can settle in Haran and obey God. And you're at a crossroads. It was calculated that for approximately 5 years, Abraham lived in Haran with his father until his father's death. Now, while in Haran, Abraham prospered. He did very well in business. Abraham was a very good businessman. And he even gained a number of servants. It may have been that for a while, Abraham justified his position. Had he not left Ur of the Chaldees? In any case, he could reason, should he not look after his aged father in Haran? But a man of God cannot be comfortable unless he fully obeys God's commands. God had clearly told him not only to leave Ur, but his father's house. It was a call to separation from the idolatry of his family and of his culture. Whatever our natural responsibilities are to our dear parents, the overriding responsibility must be to obey God. To obey God is greater. God does not want us to neglect our parents. We are to honor our parents as unto the Lord, as we can. We are to care for them as much as we can. But if it is a question, if it becomes a question of loyalty to our family, or willfully rejecting God, or loyalty to God, or putting our family in front of God, or putting our family above the biblical principles of the church, then we must follow God. Even if it means separation, even if it means being misunderstood, God's call is always a separating call from the world. It is sometimes said that the first step of faith is separation. But Haran was like a halfway house of separation, in which, despite its prosperity, God in his mercy would not let Abraham settle down permanently with a clear conscience. So beware, friends, as we make practical application this morning of stopping over in the halfway house of Haran when God is calling us on to Canaan land. In the end, God stirred up Abraham to full obedience again after the death of his father. The command and the first promise given to him in Ur of the Chaldees must be obeyed fully by faith. The separating call was undoubtedly costly for Abraham. It meant he must take on a different lifestyle. He must lead the city lifestyle. He must lead a nomadic lifestyle. He must travel from one place to another. He must put on pilgrim status. Oh, how trying that must have been for Abraham. He was a businessman. He was a city man. And God called him to be a pilgrim. It meant leaving a profitable place of business. It meant stepping out into the unknown under the guidance of God alone in the direction of Canaan land. But also, please remember this morning that God called Abraham to follow him, knowing all about the future. And this is an encouragement for us this morning. He called Abraham back in Ur of the Chaldees, knowing about Haran. He knew Abraham was going to stop over in Haran. He knew what a temptation Haran would be to Abraham, but he still called Abraham to Canaan, knowing that later he would go down into Egypt in unbelief. He still called him, knowing that he would submit to the human wisdom with Hagar, and Ishmael would result. It is true that Abraham's faith was sometimes trampled on by fear and unbelief and human wisdom. And in response, God lovingly corrected Abraham, but he did not give up on Abraham. He called him out of Ur, knowing all that was ahead of him. And it's the same for you, and it's the same for me. God does not call us knowing that we're going to be perfect people, knowing that we're going to obey everything perfectly before the Lord. We can't do that till we get to glory. He calls sinners by grace. He knows we are weak. He knows we're vulnerable. He knows we're prone to fear and unbelief. But he still calls us. And he sustains us by his grace. And he did so with Abraham. He dealt with him lovingly, carefully, and in such wisdom. God in his sovereign grace was willing to work through an Abraham despite his failures. And God is willing to work through you despite your failures, knowing that the gift of faith that he had bestowed upon Abraham would ultimately prevail and conquer. Faith was the key. In the end, Abraham's faith prevailed in God. So God didn't leave Abraham in Haran, but stirred up his spirit to wholehearted obedience and faith. And Abraham stepped out from the prosperity in Haran towards Canaan, dependent upon God's wisdom and dependent upon God's call. But then thirdly, notice it is a promising call. Verse 2 of chapter 12. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that curse thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Now here is wholehearted obedience. But I want us to notice here the promising nature of the call. We are reminded of something very important here in the way in which God deals with his people. On several occasions in Scripture, we see the partnership between a command and a promise. A command and a promise. Isaiah 45 verse 22. Look unto me, that's the command, and be ye saved. That's the promise. All the ends of the earth, from whatever background you come from this morning, for I am God and there is none else. Look unto me and be ye saved. The Lord Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. The gospel call coming from Christ. All you that labor and are heavy laden this morning, and I will give you rest. The command and the promise. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see here the command and the promise, the call and the promise. They run together in harmony. And then Paul, reminding the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 6, 17, wherefore come out from among them. That's the command, and be you separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing. That's the command. That's the call of the Christian. But he doesn't leave it there. This is what the Lord says, Paul records into the church at Corinth. Wherefore, come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Do you see that, friends? The command and the promise. And so it was with Abraham. We obey by faith, and we have faith in the promise. So, verse 1 then is in partnership with the providential promises of verse 2, and then the messianic gospel promise of verse 3. The command in verse 1, the providential promise of verse 2, and the spiritual promise of verse 3. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That is the promise given to Abraham, not only to the future nation of Israel in a providential sense in verse 2, but in addition, and in an even more blessed way, a promise to God's church in Christ Jesus, found for us in verse 3. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. We know that the promise in verse 3 refers ultimately to Christ because of the teaching of Paul. He says to the church at Galatia, Galatians 3 verse 6, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Well, the key issue in these verses referring to the promise given to Abraham then is faith. So we move from the command and the promise to the required response of faith. Abraham's got to obey. So we come in our final part of the message this morning to faith. And we notice it is a dependent faith. Verse 4. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. God had promised that he would make Abraham a great nation. Yet his wife was childless. His wife was barren. Sarah, we read, was barren. She had no child. And yet God had said he would make of Abraham a great nation. And humanly speaking, Abraham's 75 years of age now, the fulfillment of the promise was impossible. What's the point of leaving cozy Haran to go into the wilderness towards Canaan land? Because God has said. Because God has said. Firstly, it would have been reason to Abraham, perhaps. There was no point having the promise of a future land inheritance for his family without a child. How could he eventually become a great nation without a child? How could the Messianic promise be fulfilled through his lineage without a child? And all those doubts may have beset Abraham, but he still stepped out from Haran to Canaan land. This was a remarkable step of obedience in faith. Abraham moves out from the providential and material comfort of Haran, and he goes towards Canaan land. It's a totally dependent faith upon the promise of God, upon the word of God. And that's the same for us this morning. We cannot see God. We cannot see our Savior physically, but we know he's said in his word. He's promised us in his word. And so like faithful Abraham, we have to go forward, trusting in the word of God. Remember, he is stepping out as the family head into the unknown way. This was not like taking a journey by the head of the family at that time, Terah, simply from Ur to Haran. No, he was going from Haran into the unknown. When he left Ur of the Chaldees, he walked with his father along the river Euphrates to Haran. There was water, there was vegetation constantly nearby. But now, in wholehearted faith, he goes into a very different terrain towards Canaan land. He has to go into desert land. And as he steps out toward Canaan, knowing that he must take every day by faith, he has to take a day at a time in faith. Every day must be a trusting day, Abraham. Every day, as thy day, so shall thy strength be, Abraham. And that is so it is for us. Every day must be a trusting day for Christians. But remember, while the way was unknown before to Abraham, the command of God was not unknown. This was not a step in the dark. It was a step of obedience by faith into the unknown with God. And sometimes God calls us to take a step into the unknown with God, with himself, but we depend totally on the word of God, on the promise of God. We read of this in Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, at his Canaan land, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he looked for a building. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Let us remind ourselves again. We learn from the Hebrews account one secret behind Abraham's step of faith into the unknown with God. Not only that confidence in God's word, that assurance in the word of God, but he looked beyond time to eternity. Abraham was a man who had eternity in his soul. And he looked beyond time to glory. He looked to that city whose builder and maker is God. He had his eyes, a pilgrim, on the ultimate city, heaven. But then it was not only a dependent faith, it was a pilgrim faith. A pilgrim faith. If we look in verses 4 to 9, we'll see the pilgrim nature of this, of Abraham's status. We read from verse 4. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abraham took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the swords that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth. Departed, went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. And Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed, going on still towards the south. Departed, went forth, passed, removed, journeyed. Brethren, we are pilgrims. This world is not our home. We are on a journey to heaven. Well, in the account in Hebrews, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. But then it was a persevering faith. On his journey toward Canaan land, there were places at which Abraham could have settled down permanently. The journey would include desert areas, but also oases, stopovers. He could build a city here on earth. But he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. And as he came nearer to Canaan land, Abraham would have traveled through Damascus, another Haran land, city. Even then, Damascus was renowned for its beauty and luxury. But do you know what Abraham did? Instead of dwelling in Damascus, he took a man out of Damascus, Eliezer, a faithful servant, who became that faithful servant of Abraham. He took him out of that ungodly city, and he ministered to him, he testified to him, and we know that Eliezer later on testified to his own belief in the God of Abraham. Damascus was not to be another stopover, another Haran, a settled place rather. It was not to be another Haran for Abraham. No, he must press on to Canaan land. And so it is with us. We're pressing on, looking unto Jesus. We're on our way to heaven. There must be no more long-term settled places for Abraham before Canaan. So Abraham perseveres by faith to Canaan land. Well, we will leave the message here at this point. We're going to consider next week the worshiping faith of Abraham. What does he do when he gets into the land of Canaan? You will see some remarkable testimonies of his belief in God. So may the Lord help us then this morning. May we be encouraged by the testimony of Abraham for our own spiritual walk with the Lord. And if we're not walking with the Lord this morning, look to the Lord. The Lord Jesus said, come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Isaiah, look unto me and be saved. Oh, that God might give you that same faith of Abraham, to look to the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and follow him. Let's turn to our hymn books, number 721.